Welcome to the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America with Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett. Take it away, boys.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you here today. And thanks so much for being with us. We've got a wonderful show coming your way that will talk about the domination of Bryson DeChambeau over 48-year-old Lee Westwood. It actually wasn't as dominating as some of the numbers would indicate, and we'll get into that. Our good friend Steve Johnson with Hank Haney Golf will be joining us to talk about that tournament and upcoming, what's going on in the PGA Tour, golf in general. But certainly a very impressive performance by DeChambeau, winning the tournament that a lot of people love to compete in because it's got Arnold Palmer's name on it, the Arnold Palmer Invitational at Bay Hill, a very tough, challenging golf course. And DeChambeau needed the final putt. Didn't seem like maybe he'd come that close, but he needed the final putt on the 72nd hole to beat Westwood and walk away with the the sweater and the big check and everything else that goes with it. Frank Bassett, as always, in the Nashville studios. It was a dramatic finish, Frank, that I thought, to be honest with you, the back nine, I kind of thought the way DeChambeau was playing his power game over a guy who's 15 years older might kind of end up being a 5-6 shot win for DeChambeau, and Lee Westwood, gum on his shoe, would not go away, would he?
No, he wouldn't. And hello, Tim. Good morning. It was a great tournament. Some of the most impressive shots I saw were DeChambeau coming out of the rough. I mean, good Lord. And that rough was U.S. Open style rough. Yeah, it really was. Ooh, always sure is there at Bay Hill. And he just powered through it. But Westwood, let's win one for the Gipper, baby. The old guys, come on. He stayed right with him.
Yeah.
Power game, finesse game, putting. Putting was key. Putting was absolutely key down to the last putt, and you saw it in DeChambeau's eyes when he made that putt. You saw it in Lee Westwood's eyes. Putts were key during this entire final round, and it was exciting. I stuck with it, didn't walk away from the TV. So
it was great. It was great drama, and again, more than I thought we were going to be in for when it came down to kind of those two guys. Corey Connors in the hunt as well, so was Jordan Spieth until the last four, five, six holes. But it did come down to those two guys and head-to-head. And again, even if you go to number six, which became so well-known even in the warm-up holes, I mean the warm-up rounds on Tuesday and Wednesday getting ready for that, when DeChambeau was attempting to carry the water on the par 5, 6th hole, and seeing what he could cut off, what he wouldn't do, all that stuff. And sure enough, it comes down to it both Saturday and Sunday. And the crowd, which was bigger than we've seen in a long, long time, so there was some noise being made there. And it was all kind of back to the John Daly days, wasn't it, Frank, where the crowd was kind of egging him on about, get the driver, don't lay up, don't go for 305 yards over here, go for 370 over there. And DeChambeau didn't disappoint.
Yeah, he didn't. I want to, talking about the crowd, 5,000 sounded like 50,000. But one of the most fun things I saw happen was with Billy Horschel during the week when he missed a putt by about 3 feet wide right, you know, Florida State putt. And somebody from the other side of the ropes hollered, bad read, Billy, bad read. And Billy just picked up his ball, started walking off, and he turned and pointed to the guy and said, there's a reason why you're on that side of the ropes and I'm on this side of the ropes. And that's because I have a little bit more talent than you do in this game, pal. And just walked on off. And I thought that was just great. That's pure Billy Horschel. So it was a great week.
So much I can take.
Yeah, it was a great week. You know, it was a lot of fun. This tournament's always great. It's a lead-in to what's happening this week. And we'll talk more about that later. But, you know, this is my favorite week of the year. And, God, I wish I was there. So.
Yeah, the players are coming up right now, but it was about Bay Hill. Pretty good field at Bay Hill, and speaking of a good field and leaderboard, the man who's always at the top of our leaderboard, Steve Johnson with Hank Haney Golf, is ready to go, and we want him to come in with us. Steve, how you doing today?
Hey, doing good, guys. Thanks for having me.
Sure, sure. Hey, is Bay Hill considered?
How do you guys feel? Hey, let me ask you a question first. Let me here, Tim. Okay.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, it's your show.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. What the hell?
Well, how do you guys feel about Bryson DeChambeau being the most popular guy on the PGA Tour now?
Tim, you want to go first? You want me to go?
Sure. I don't have a problem with it. I mean, I think the popularity part is kind of spread out in different ways, and I think people are liking him because of, I guess it's the Daily, it's Tiger Woods, it's power is always something that appeals to people. So the fact that he's doing these things is bringing a lot of eyeballs. I was talking to Frank before we got on here. that SportsCenter is showing it in one of their highlights, you know, NBA All-Star game and other things are happening, but they put in golf, and they normally wouldn't, except for DeChambeau hitting 390-yard drives. And so that brings a lot of attention, a lot of eyeballs that normally wouldn't be brought to golf. So in that sense, I don't have any problem with it. I think it is a fun, exciting part of the game that he's whether it's revolutionizing or not, I don't know. Will we see a bunch of 250-pound guys beefing up to play? I don't know, but I like the drama, Frank.
Well, okay. Remember when he came out and he had the clubs that were all the same length, and you remember this being there at SMU, at Dallas, SMU. Both of you guys. And he was like a goat, and I don't mean greatest of all time. It was like, he's going to ruin the game. What is this crazy guy doing? You know, the mad scientist. He's pouring water on golf balls before he hits them. And they just poo-pooed, for lack of a better term, I can't say on the air, a lot of the stuff he was doing and have for a long time. Well, guess what? Now he is the glory child, the fair-haired boy. They changed their tune. They changed their tune totally around. And I like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
Why are you asking,
you know,
Steve?
You can see it in the galleries too, guys. I mean, you know, back in the day, you'd go out on the golf course and there were two big galleries. There was a huge gallery for Tiger Woods, and then the second biggest gallery was Phil Mickelson, and then the rest was friends and family or, hey, we're going to stay at this one hole where the bar is and we're going to watch the guys come through.
I like that
one. I'm telling you what, yesterday, if there were 5,000 people, I would guarantee you there was more than 5,000 people watching Bryson DeChambeau.
Yeah, it was a big follow for him and screaming for him. And here's the other question on this, Steve, is what do you think Roy McIlroy and Dustin Johnson and John Rahm are sitting there thinking now? Because this guy's outpowering all of them.
Yeah, it's vanilla is what it is. And I'm not talking about the color of their skin. I'm talking about it's very lackluster play. I mean, they're great players, but they lack the thing that really gets the people going.
Excitement.
I mean, doing things just like the NBA All-Star game was last night. And at halftime, they had that slam dunk competition. You know what? I mean, that was one of the most exciting things of the whole game.
Sure.
It's seeing what these guys can do that we couldn't even dream about doing. I mean, that's what people enjoy. When I said popularity about Bryson DeChambeau, I'm talking about the ability to attract galleries and to attract attention. I mean, not only – I mean, he is pretty much the full package, Tim. He's got the revolutionary new technique. He thinks for himself. And in the interview room – man, he will bring something. It's very thoughtful answers. Even when Steve Sands interviewed him after the tournament was over, just immediately after, he says, you know what, man, this thing means so much to me. I feel like I'm going to cry right now because Arnold Palmer, his friendship, the letter that he wrote to Bryson DeChambeau when he'd won his first tournament. I mean, there were so many things that we never see as fans that Arnold Palmer's done for this game that hopefully will never be forgotten.
Well,
Go ahead, Tim. I'm going to say that the interview part is, I think, overlooked oftentimes, and that is, and when I say interview part, it could be at any time, at any place, at pregame, pre-tournaments, after tournaments, but the personality, the interviews is what we always see. Otherwise, you just see athletes playing their game. You see a golfer playing his game. So many of the PGA Tour, and I'm going to say 80% plus, have very little personality when it comes to talk to you, see what you're going to say, what. Jordan Spieth comes off really, really well, which is why he's very popular. Certainly Bryson does it well. But a lot of them are dull as toast with no butter when they get interviewed. It's just, the second hole, I tried to make a run. I don't want to hear that. You know, give me something. And he did. Bryson gives you that Tiger texted him that morning to say, be bold, like Arnie told us to be bold.
Yeah.
That made him very emotional. Like Arnie told him to be bold about that he got that letter. It's posted. It's framed, and it's in his office. He's giving you something. He's giving you the color of it. They almost have to have lessons. And before you get on tour, take them into a room and classes for a week to say, here's how you meet the media. Here's how you get the word out to the people out there and say, here's what we're going to be. And not just go round by round with what club you hit on one hole. That's Ben Hogan interviews, right? That's not what
they
we want today.
Coaching.
And it's not going to get the young crowd.
They get coaching. You're right about media, dealing with
coaching,
the media.
But it's just like, people at their golf course, they get lessons too, but a lot of times it's bad coaching.
Yeah, exactly.
Here's what I, just to simplify it, the answers that we hear from most athletes are cliche answers. They've heard other people say them. This is what they say, and this is why it's so boring. I mean, that's why Rory McIlroy's, a lot of his interviews are boring. Jason Day, they're boring. Tiger Woods was boring.
DJ.
Dustin Johnson. But well, you know what? Bryson DeChambeau and Jordan Spieth are very thoughtful, real answers that
– Yeah.
And I should – Rory McIlroy gives thoughtful answers as well that are real.
Yeah, he does.
But you know, he goes out there. He goes out there on the tangent so much that you know. Hey, it's almost philosophical. Oh, you know, I'm golf is what I do, is not who I am, and all
William
that.
William Wallace.
We don't want to hear that.
Here's what he did. He humanized himself to the public in his interview. He was humble. He was respectful. He called him Mr. Palmer. A lot of the other guys, Arnold. I don't call him Arnold. He's Mr. Palmer. And the other thing that he did, I think was very, very important, is he and John Feinstein this morning, the great John Feinstein, right? He hammers him for thanking his sponsors. Hammers him for that. Says, this is ridiculous. Yeah. No other athlete does it. Well, I guess Feinstein doesn't watch NASCAR because that's the first thing they do.
The best pitch man the PGA Tour ever had always thanked his sponsors before he went into an interview. It was this Spalding putter. It was these Spalding golf balls. It was the Bridgestone tires that I drove over on. And that was Lee Trevino. He was the best.
Yeah.
He was the best. Yeah. And that's why back in the day, he made the most money of all the guys in endorsements.
Sure. Yeah, he did. It.
I didn't have any problem with him doing that. I mean, when he did it, it was. It took all of 15 seconds. But by and large, let's be honest. Those guys are giving him millions and millions of dollars. It's worth a thank you. It's not a big thing. Yeah. And you also only get to thank, or they get heard that much when you win. So it's not like it happens every week, right? The guys, you win a few times a year at best. Right. Well, so yeah, that part is a stupid complaint to say that the guy thanked his sponsors because that's what keeps him.
But
going
here's where I was going with that is when you think when he did what he did and Feinstein did what he did this morning on Twitter and whatever, you know, Rippy, okay. DeChambeau was sincere. That's the difference. Palmer was sincere when he thanked people.
He appeared sincere. I mean, you know, and I'm not saying that he was bluffing us, but the thing is, I mean, the fact is, all those guys are paying him millions of dollars.
Yeah.
It's his privilege and his right to do that, Frank.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, as a teacher, and somebody that's not paying him $1 million a year. Are his caddy, his longtime coach, and Chris Como, who without fail he recognizes them every time.
He does.
Every time he does something, he recognizes them, and that's big for a player because most players have amnesia. They don't remember anything. It's all them.
It's all me, baby.
It's called egonesia. Egonesia.
So I mean, you got to give him props for that because he thanked guys that it's going to really help. I mean. You know what? Now Chris Como, it's going to help his career.
Well, sure.
Which is awesome. Yep.
Yeah. He thanked his third grade teacher. Everybody. I mean, they all get thrown in there. Why not? Hey, we're joined by Steve Johnson with Hank Haney Golf and an instructor who knows exactly what he's talking about. Worked with a lot of guys on every different tour and women as well on all the different tours, as well as the average hacker that shows up and he's trying to get them to shoot under 90. So Steve knows exactly what he's talking about, and I am curious. So in talking with about DeChambeau, when you now teach guys and Steve and younger ones that are coming in, and let's say they start at 8 or 10 or 12 or whatever age, is DeChambeau or DeChambeauing, if you will, part of it now? Are you and had it already been there that you've got to make sure that they want to learn about power, or their dads or moms are saying we got to make sure that this kid can hit the ball hard and far. As much as they need to putt and chip and do all those other parts of the game, is coaching changing because of DeChambeau?
Well, I mean, maybe not the technique part of it because there's a lot of different ways to play the game. The way he holds the club, the way he sets up the composition that his club make and all that stuff probably definitely won't change in the way the style that I teach. But the thing is ball flight correction is always in the forefront, no matter what you're doing. You know, I think that you talk about distance. Distance is, we've talked about that. The USGA is thinking about rolling the ball back. I mean, Bryson DeChambeau outdrove Lee Westwood yesterday by 168 yards on one shot.
Yeah,
how can that not be an advantage? Yeah. Now, they both made the same number on the hole. But, I mean, how can that
But I think that was
advantage?
Six, right? So, I mean, it was cutting over water cutting. So it wasn't straight ahead down a fairway where he outdrove him by 168 yards on a runway. But it was indeed, it seemed to be a big advantage. But Bryson, if you remember, hit into a bunker, right? That was about 70 yards short of the green and didn't get onto the green on his second shot. It rolled back into the, still got their same score as you're saying. But Bryson has to take advantage of that when he does it. And that's his philosophy. Frank, we've talked about that. Even at the U.S. Open, he said, you know what? If I can hit wedge, even out of this thick rough that they have at a U.S. Open or Bay Hill had, I'll take my wedges. And he put them on the green most of the time versus the other guys with a six iron back there. He'll take his chances with a wedge out of that kind of rough. It paid off for him again, and let's be honest, it's paid off for him in the last couple of years. He's number six in the world now. He's one of the best golfers on the planet, and I don't know that he would have done the same things had he not beefed up and changed his game and done all those other things. He would have just been known as kind of the mad scientist, right, with the same size clubs and the thicker grips and all that.
It's not something new. I mean, what you're talking about, Bryson DeChambeau's philosophy, I just got to get it as close as I can to the green. That philosophy's been – I've witnessed it since the early 90s. Phil Mickelson would bypass hitting fairways to get it as close as he could to the green. Tiger Woods would do the same thing. So it's been a style of play. The guys that had the ammunition have been doing it for a long time. Heck, Jack Nicklaus used to do that. He used to be one of the longest hitters. And believe me, he would get as close as he could to the green and the rough, unless it was a major and the rough was so penalizing that you had to hit fairways. Distance has always been an advantage.
Yeah, I mean, even Palmer with the old equipment when he drove the green at Cherry Hills on the final round. I mean, Palmer was always, you know, the big forearms and a power player, and it's been a power game forever.
The crazy swing.
Yeah, and what difference does it make if the club head is in the proper position at impact every time? I don't care if you come Furyk to Trevino to Palmer to whomever. It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mean to step on Steve's instruction here, because there are some people who swing that they'll never get the club head back even close to the ground, but it's important. I want to back up for a second, guys. We talked about DeChambeau a lot about his demeanor in the media center and all that. What we haven't said, and Steve, you haven't been in the media center as much as Tim has, of course, or myself, because, you know, you're out on the range and with the players and all that. But the media has a culpability here in how they ask the questions, too, because I can't believe some of the questions I hear that come out of the media's mouth. So as far as boring interviews, I think that the people up on the dais that are directing the media center interview, as well as the media people sitting down in those chairs, have a lot of responsibility there. They're not being inventive. They're being just damn lazy, in my opinion, in a lot of cases. Not going to name names, but there are a lot of people who are, and I go in and ask funny questions and try to get the personality out. Well, they all looked at me when I first got into this business like I was some kind of crazy guy, Tim. I mean,
I will say this, Frank, though, and I totally agree. And I'm going to throw more of that on old writers, to be honest with you. I mean, some of the boringest questions come from old newspaper guys that, you know, have been doing it since, Hogan was a rookie. and they seriously just care about what club you hit on number seven.
Yeah.
So I think part of that is the player also, and this is where the bad coaching or not coaching comes in from the PGA, if they have to, is turn a dull, bland question into something better than that. That's more on the players, because you are going to get boring questions. You can't control it if you're a player. What you can control is your response and still find some way. I mean, Phil seems to do a pretty good job of finding almost a little chuckle and a little dig here and there on the guy he beat or whatever, no matter what the question is that they're asking. The problem with media people is they oftentimes try not to offend anyone, right? They try to just be very, okay, well, what happened here? And don't say anything bad about this guy. And you're like, all right, just let's have fun with it. But that's not probably going to happen in our lifetime, because it is kind of what it is. But I think that the players just, there's just too many dull guys out there. And that's what I appreciate about DeChambeau. We mentioned Spieth too, Steve. And, you know, we seem to talk every time we talk to you. We talk about Jordan. He certainly is coming on and doing better and better. He's now number 52 in the world, and in December he was 80th. So he's moving up. He's doing okay. He's almost in the top 50. Seems weird that that'd be a compliment, but he's almost in the top 50 now. He got another nice payday and finished in tie for fourth and
top five.
So it was a pretty good tournament, but he had a bad final round again, Steve. I mean, is that just in his head now? And everybody did, by the way, played very, very tough. They said this was about as tough as Bay Hill has played in 30 years or more, but he shot a 75, which was one of the worst rounds for the top 10 guys. Is it just in his head? Come on Sunday, he gets three bogeys in the last five holes that he just can't finish.
Well, remember, he hadn't won since 2017, so this is a big deal. I mean, it's baby steps. Now, in the last five tournaments, he's been in the top five, three of those four tournaments, tied for 15th in the Genesis. He's had a pretty darn good run. You know, it doesn't last forever. You would think he would look back on this and say, "Hey, you know what? I should have been able to finish one of these off." But it does take time. I mean, he's still his misses are still too wide in either direction, typically to the right. Now this course, I mean, there's a lot of trouble left on this course. You know, I mean, you've got water left on a lot of holes. There's a lot of dogleg lefts. I've never seen more greens that are surrounded by, you know, that are bordered by water. I mean, Arnold, he loves water. It's intimidating.
Aquaman.
I can't believe that course played so difficult yesterday. 71, one under par was the lowest score of 70-something guys that made the cut.
Yeah.
Which is unbelievable. So 75 is not that bad. Where I see Jordan is in, he would tell you that he is a guy that prides himself on finishing strong. He bogeys three out of the last four holes, which is not the great way to finish. I mean, he's just what did he finish? He finished tied for fourth, and he bogeys three out of the last four holes.
Yeah,
that's not
good. I mean, he was right there. You know? He may not have won, but I mean, he finished at 6 under, 11 under, so he's 5 back. But he still could have been alone in second, alone in third, or something like that. And it's just, you know, and at this point, it's FedEx Cup points, it's world rankings, it's all those things. Money factors in, but I don't think it's a problem for him for the rest of his life or his grandkids or anybody else. So it's not really the paycheck that goes with it. But every little point he can get now, because he's got to get top 50, right? You've got World Golf Championships, you've got Ryder Cup, things that are, in his mind, he's got to be like, okay, I got to get somewhere by the end of this year if I'm even going to be considered for that. So that's all I'm saying is I think you're right. He's got to finish some of these off or one of these off so that he can get that moniker off his back. Hasn't won since. Nobody wants that, right? Nobody wants to hear about Lee Westwood hasn't won in 10 years. It's one thing when you're 48. When you're 26, you don't want to hear that you haven't won in a while. So he's just got to get through that. Maybe will. We'll see. He's playing this week. We'll look forward a little bit to Frank's favorite tournament, the Players. Have you ever been to the Players Championship before, Steve?
Yes. Yeah, it's a great tournament. It's fun.
You like it there?
A lot of gallery. That's 16th, 17th, 18th holes, or that'll get you puckering up. I'm telling you what, that's 17th
will. Just
hole
to watch on TV.
Is as little, as short a hole as that is, man, I'm telling you what, it is intimidating.
Yeah. It's intimidating from the time that you hit your second shot on 16. As per the design of Pete Dye. So you see that hole while you're playing 16, and then you have the longest walk between two holes on that entire course between the 16th green and the 17th tee that you walk around the water on the edge all the way. So it's brutal.
It's like a death row inmate, isn't it, Frank?
Yeah, the green mile. it's more like a blue mile, aqua mile. Yeah.
You're walking down looking at that green the whole time.
See, though, in the Players, one of the best parts of the tournament is on Wednesday, they have a big 5-gallon jug of what used to be water, but it's nothing in it. And the Players, the PGA Tour Players, will go and they'll put a couple $100 in that big 5-gallon jug. And they'll give a prize to the closest to the hole for the caddies hitting it. And I'm telling you what, you've never seen caddies get more nervous. That's a great little addition to the tournament, and unfortunately we don't get to watch it on TV. But it's funny to see the players get a real kick out of watching their caddies compete.
And, oh, they love it.
There's a lot of funny things. Ben Curtis's caddy didn't get the ball in the air, barely got it to the water. He rolled it along the ground. it's just so funny. But the players want the caddies to get a little taste of what it's like.
Yeah.
And they sure do.
Yeah, it's
a lot of those caddies are good golfers. I mean, it's not mistaken that they're a bunch of hacks. They're really, really good golfers. So it's they have the ability. But yeah, you're right. The pucker effect is definitely in play when you're looking at nothing but water there. Frank, you just absolutely love this whole week, don't you?
I do.
So sad. You can hear it in your voice that you can't get there.
Yeah, I do. I live there across the. I lived on number 5 fairway on the west course of Sawgrass for over 14 years, and was a member of the country club as well as all that. So I played TPC Stadium, TPC Valley, Sawgrass East, West, South, Ponte Vedra Inn and Club, Marsh Landing Country Club. It's all right there in that compound. And it's all best of the best of the best in the country golf courses. So, yeah, I miss it and all my friends down there. But to go down there, because of the way we have to cover things, there's just no reason to take the trip down there and take the risk. I haven't had my shots yet.
You can't really be around much. Yeah, you can't be around much of anything.
So last week, I'm usually at Bay Hill. Missed that. So, yeah, it's sad not to be able to be there, but... But to back up to what Steve said about this tournament and how exciting it is the premier event in the Jacksonville area and Duval County and St. Johns County of the year.
Like for the whole year?
For the whole year. It's the premier event that occurs down there. To heck with the Jaguars and everything else. Bigger than Florida Georgia game. You better believe it. Okay. It is. Okay. I mean, they sell out parking passes. I mean... You just can't get a ticket down there. It's great golf tournament, but it's the best field in golf. It's played on one of the most challenging golf courses that there is, and I got a pick for you this week. This is a reach, right? I pick Jordan Spieth in the top 5, possibly to win. Oh, okay. Possibly to win.
Really?
I do on this golf course. I do. I don't know, Steve. What do you think?
You're betting with your heart there, Frank. You know
I am.
It plays different in March than it did in the summertime. You know, that's for sure. What's the weather like down? The weather's a big factor in it too. I mean, the pollen is out this time of year.
No, it's going to be warm.
Spring showers and the thunderstorms and all that.
It can be cold in the mornings, as you know.
Different
Steve.
Winds too, right, Frank? Different direction.
Winds coming out. The course was designed to be played in March. The tournament to be played in March, the way Pete designed that course. Wind coming out of the north. But this next week, we look like we're going to get a lot of southerly winds. So that's why I said Spieth. I mean, it's not going to be in his face and not going to be chilly. It can get cold in the mornings down there. I mean, it really can this time of year.
Sure.
But
I'll tell you one guy that's not going to win.
It's got a great field.
Is Brooks Koepka. I heard that he withdrew yesterday.
Knee again.
And his knee again?
Your knee again, yeah.
Wow. That's too bad.
Are we thinking, guys, that he's kind of going down the path of Jason Day here? Do we think that maybe he's not going to ever be the same dominant kind of player because of health injuries? You don't think so?
I don't think so, Steve.
Because he sure has a lot of them coming up, doesn't he? I mean, it just seemed to come up every few months now. He can't get out of it.
I think he's going to be one of those players where we look back and we say, wow, he coulda, shoulda, woulda. Now, the guy's won 4 majors. So, I mean, you got to cut him some slack there.
But you could still say he could have won 10 or something, right?
Well, if he wasn't injured. Tournaments won and all that stuff. I think he's going to look back and say that his injuries have really held him back. And he did. I mean, the guy he does take it to the limit. And telling how he's hurting himself. It doesn't look like he's got the type of golf swing that's going to hurt him. I wonder if it's happening in the gym. That's one of the questions, Frank, you got to ask when you get in there. One of those provocative questions. Hey, Brooks. Hey,
what's going on
with the knee?
Your swing is so good. It looks easy. But why are you, where are these injuries coming from?
Really? Don't go skiing.
We're joined by Steve Johnson with Hank Haney Golf. And Steve also has a great facility if you're ever in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Tell us a little bit about it at the Golf Ranch, Steve. If people want to come hit some balls, you've got indoor, you've got outdoor, you've got all kinds of space. You got a little par 3 course right there. Tell us a little bit about it.
We do. We pride ourselves at having the best golf balls and the best grass to hit off of. We have 25 teachers here, Tim. I mean, very experienced. If I added up all of the years of experience teaching, we probably have 4,000 years experience teaching here at the golf ranch. A lot of guys that I've taught with throughout the years, and as well as some younger teachers that are coming up. We're putting in the top tracer technology. For you can come out and play St. Andrews, Frank, if you'd like to. We'd get you a spot there. You can see how you could be just like the guys on TV. When you hit a shot, you look up there and it shows your shot tracing with a nice blue tracer. The top tracer is a great asset that we're bringing in because it helps you practice too. It shows you what kind of patterns you hit to your shots, what your proximity is to a target. And it makes it a little bit more fun. Our par three is really coming on. The overseed is in full bloom right now. And, man, it's just we can't wait. Anyone that's close to North Dallas, you got to come by and see us.
I've got to get out there.
There's a website. Where would they go to the website to know more about it if they come into town?
It's a loincloth of a website.
.net.
They don't come to a practice facility because their website is so great. They come because
but it gives them the information. They get the direction.
Yeah,
directions and everything are right there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, they can call Tim at 214.
Yeah, don't call me.
Yeah, Tim.
We can all go out there and work
here.
On our chipping game.
Traffic jam, Tim. How do I get to the golf range?
Do I turn on? Frank would like it because it's right off the George Bush Tollway.
There you go. That's my man.
There you go, boy.
That's my man.
I'm telling you.
I love W. Right, always have.
That's why Frank put it there. I mean, that's why Steve put it there. It is a great facility. You get your little par three course right there. And hey, by the way, did you ever talk to Mr. Selinger, Steve?
I did. You know,
about
what
we talked about.
Art Selinger is a we've all heard of Art from the Long Drive. Long Drivers of America, the competition and all that. And he was
another one of our favorite guests. Yeah,
absolutely. Very opinionated, though. We love that about Art. But, you know, he has a great club fitting company, and he's putting together a plan to have some equipment and demos out here. So if you come out, you can try out all of the latest and greatest. Like they say, the club champion used to say, we are club agnostic. We will have them all. We'll have
I can throw a Titleist as well as I can throw a TaylorMade. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Wow.
Does Top Very Tracer cool. follow Very a cool. low hook?
Yes, it does. Good. It's not something that, that you're going to want to show your friends, though.
They see it on a daily basis when I'm playing with them. Oh, my God.
Oh, and speaking of which, Steve, while we're promoting.
What's that?
I'm sorry. I just wanted to throw another one in here while you're promoting. Tell people the website if they want to send you a video.
Yeah.
They can send a video right to you and your team and have them,
absolutely,
you guys, dissect their bad swings or whatever, fix it.
Yeah, it does not have to be a top quality video. It just has to be down the line. Down the line is where we can see the target. We can see where you're aiming. We can see where the ball starts out. That's the down the line view, not the front on view, down the line view.
Right.
Send us a down the line view to Golf Schools with an S at HankHaney.com, and within 24 hours we're going to send you back a start of a great game plan. We'll draw some lines, we'll give you some we'll tell you a little bit about your game just by watching what your swing shape looks like. Remember, tell us your big miss. If you tell us your big miss, we'll show you how to fix it.
Golf Schools at HankHaney.com.
That's
my
it.
My big miss reads like Gone big with fix. The Wind. It's just all over the place.
I know. It helps, though. It helps. All right, Steve. Well, I know you got a lot of stuff going on, and you probably got to get out there and mow that range. We have great weather in Dallas, looks like, all this week. So you'll probably be packed to the gills. But best of luck at the Golf Ranch. GolfRanch.net, again, is the website. And working with people. And thanks for your time and your opinions. As always, we'll talk to you again really soon, okay?
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it, buddy.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Steve Johnson is the man, and
he is.
We think about that, Frank. I mean, that's free. I think if you go to golf schools.
How many people?
I mean, it's golf schools at HankHaney.com that they could just send a video. You do it on your phone, right, with your buddies while you're playing around a golf, just while you're swinging in your backyard. You don't have to literally hit a golf ball. He'll take a look at that and say, okay, and they get back to you that quickly and say, what you're doing is your right elbow, your left, just like you would get if you're Jordan Spieth, if you're DeChambeau, and you got your coach right there telling you what to do.
From the team who instructed for years, Tiger Woods. I mean,
there you go.
Steve was right with him, too, when Hank was teaching him. They were together. So,
They know what
so
they're talking about.
How many people can get that instruction?
Free.
Yeah.
It's free. I mean, that's we all just need a little bit of pointers here and there. And then you got to go do it, right? I mean, golf is a tough game.
It's ridiculously difficult.
But, it's getting harder all the time.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Why can't we just take the running car and go to the bar?
I know.
Buddy. I got to tell you. Well, look, we haven't talked about Tiger, and I don't want to get into that right now because there's no new news out. But Tiger going through what he's going through and taking the time to text Bryson DeChambeau with that sweet text he sent, that's first class. That is first class. So
I think it shows, too, that he knows and or acknowledges he's moving into the next phase, which we kind of saw when he was being a co-captain for Ryder Cups and President's Cups through his injuries, that his next phase is a bit more of a mentor, right? He went through the phase of being the dominant player, and I mean this in the best of ways, and wanting to bury everybody he played, right? That was the mentality. I'm not here to help anybody. I'm here to beat you and beat you bad. That's how he won his money. Now he's at that phase, and I think it is very Palmer-esque to be able to go to a contemporary and say, hey, good luck in today. And I think if he wanted to or had any advice or said something about, you know, be careful about the wind on number 15, he would do that too. I mean, that's what's the next phase of Tiger Woods. And I think it's neat to see, by the way, Steve Stricker for the Ryder Cup this fall did say that he expects Tiger to be a part of it, right? Meaning certainly not playing, but he'll have him there again, whatever he can manage to ride around in a cart, whatever he can do. He wants him there. And that's the reason is because Tiger is Tiger. And Tiger, it's like having Michael Jordan help you out as a basketball player. Why would you not want to listen to him and have him give you some advice or just be around him to know that the eyes of a great player like that are right on you as you're practicing and stuff. So Tiger will, not going anywhere. He'll still be around. But, that's the latest that I've heard from Tiger. And it was kind of neat. And I think he also got it in return. He had, the last couple of weeks, have had a lot of guys wearing the red shirts on Sunday.
It touched him.
The last couple of tournaments.
It did touch him.
Yeah, to honor Tiger. So that was kind of cool.
Yeah, he's going through a lot. So, Tiger, we're thinking about you, pal. And God bless and Godspeed. Let's get Tiger back. But it's always good to have Steve. And, Johnson did not make a pick for the Players' Championship, did he?
No.
Neither did you.
You let him off the hook. Okay, I'll give you one.
We've got a little gambling going on here. Who's your pick?
I'm gonna go older, but a guy who I think has been playing well, and he just hasn't sealed the deal. But I like his mentality. I like his last few majors that he's played in, and he's a veteran. He's been around. He's a foreigner, Frank. It's like I'm teasing you here. He's a foreigner. He's from the country of England. No, it's not Harry or Meghan Markle. Did you watch that interview?
I don't even go there. Good Lord, yes.
Wow. Wasn't any of that. It's Paul Casey.
Paul Casey. That's a good pick. That's a good pick. And plays this course well, too. He's a good guy.
And he's been playing well. He played at Bay Hill, and he didn't do badly. Finished 3-under, picked up $195,000, so it was barely worth his while to go there. But like everybody, had a tough final round, but shot 74, which was kind of right in the hunt. The average yesterday, Frank, for the final round, the average was 75 and a half or something.
Oh, yeah.
I think.
71 was 75. What was the low score yesterday? 71?
I believe 71.
Yeah.
Yeah, 71 for what?
Putnam the wind was blowing. It was blowing pretty good. And the rough, that's a hard golf course. Trust me. Have you ever played Bay Hill?
Never had played Bay Hill.
I played it a bunch. Of course, it's right there in Orlando, and Ponte Vedra is just 2 hours away. We played it a lot over the years. It's hard. It's just hard.
Well, Frank, look at. I'm going to give you some of these scores from yesterday. Doug Gim, who is a teammate of Jordan at University of Texas, 81 yesterday. Kevin Kistner, 78.
Yep.
Martin Laird, 79. And I mean, there's a lot more. Victor Hovland, right? Victor played so well last week. Shot a 78. Yep. Shot a 77-78 on the weekend. Think of that, 77-78. Henrik Norlander shot 78. And just to top the whole list here, and I can never say his name right, so we'll call him Jazz. You know Jazz?
Oh, come on, say the last name. Do it. You can do it.
Jawantanandan. Duatawandanan. I can't say it. Let's call him Jazz. Thank God Jazz. His dad nicknamed him Jazz.
Well, you know why? Because his dad loved Jazz.
And did you see how he signs his name when he signs the scorecard? He signs it Jazz, but the J is made of a, you're a musician, you know better than
it's
I do.
It's a treble
kind of
clef.
Yes, something.
It's a treble,
treble clef.
That we yes.
call it? Yeah, treble clef.
It's voicing for like a trumpet. It's treble clef and a trombone.
And it's AZZ. He puts that in there.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool. So that AZZ is his signature.
So it's
final round, 84.
Yeah, don't be sharp. For jazz. Don't be flat. Just be natural. That's the musician's joke.
So, yeah, that's how hard that golf course was playing yesterday. So somebody shot, I mean, to shoot at 84, wow.
So our good friend Lauren Green, used to be on the TV. Lauren Gold sent out a tweet and copied us in it yesterday. I don't know if you saw it or not. He copied.
I don't think so.
Spieth, DeChambeau, PGA Tour, and Golf Talk America. Lauren Gold is the, for our listeners who don't know, is the keyboardist, background vocalist, and musical director, and has been for years with the band The Who. So Lauren sends this out that says, can't we just, somebody who screams, get in the hole, can't we just do something with those people, like throw them out or whatever?
So I responded
back in the true musician sense. I said, no, we can give them 30 days in the hole and have them eat humble pie. No, nobody got it. I guess I'm too old. The band was Humble Pie, and 30 Days in the Hole was one of their biggest hits. So there.
I didn't know that song. I knew Humble Pie was an old band from the 70s.
30 Days in the Hole. Check it out when you get through. Tell your machine to play it for you. It's a great song.
Yeah.
It's a great song.
I am with him, though, on this because it is, I mean, it's the guys, and I get it. I mean, you want them to come. You want them to have a good time. You're going to have some adult beverages. You're going to do all that. And one thing leads to the other because they all hold their breath until the guy swings the club. And as soon as he swings it, they got to say their stupid phrases. And it's almost like they think they're clever, and you just want to look at them and go,
shut up.
How do you even get employed? How does anybody even hire you? I mean, if you're that much of a jerk, how did, but yeah, whatever. You're like, okay, here we go. So I guess it's Phoenix, right? And I think if you have your druthers, you'd rather have those guys and have more of them and have excitement than
people
to have quietly, slow,
I'm going to give it to them right
clapping
now,
that nobody hears a word. So you got to have one or the other, I guess.
I'm going to give them a little pass right now, only because this is one of the first tournaments
crazy?
That had COVID crazy spectators out there.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You know what
we
they should
are.
Do? You know how to make some real money, Tim? What? Is put up a booth outside of the golf tournament, haircuts at a discounted price, COVID cuts. Call it COVID cuts. You know? I'm reaching. I don't know. It's either that or start buying lottery tickets or go to DraftKings and start gambling. I don't know. What are you going to do?
We're kind of getting there, though. We're kind of getting through it all. So before we go, just another mention. Stay safe out there. We know a lot of places, Texas being one, that are saying, hey, mask may be optional and all that. My thought is we've gotten this far. You've worn your mask. We've all gotten used to it. You got your cool masks that have the PGA on there or your favorite bank or whatever it might be. Just keep wearing our mask. I think a few more months and we'll be kind of really down the road and through a lot of this problem.
Hope so.
So that's all I'm suggesting is we've done it this long. Let's keep going and not let it bounce back and bite us in the you-know-what. So anyway, that's my advice for everybody, but hopefully we're getting through that. We're seeing sporting events. We had an all-star game. We saw the Super Bowl. We've seen a lot of golf coming back, fans coming. You can see the progress, Frank, and that's what's encouraging, right? That's why I'm saying, don't change. Let's just do what we're doing. We see the light at the end of that tunnel.
Yes.
It's not a train.
Stay out of Walmart. Stay out of Target. Stay out of Kroger.
It's sunlight. Sunlight.
And go outside
you mentioned,
in the sun.
You mentioned DraftKings.
Yeah.
You know, I got a lot of friends that participate in DraftKings. I mean, it's a really, really cool website and app that you can go to. And now, as you've noticed, more and more sports from the NBA to PGA Tour and everything else are getting involved in it. And there's a lot of money to be made for these leagues and whatnot. So we got an NFL team in Vegas, right? We never thought we'd have professional sports in Vegas because they always kind of shied away. The world's changing. And DraftKings is right there as one of the best places that you can participate in these events, in these sporting events, whether it's football, whether it's the March Madness, right? That's right around the corner for us, or the Players' Championship. You can download the app. Download the app at DraftKings, and if you download it now and use the promo code GOLFTALK, you get a free shot at a share of $100,000 in total prizes with DraftKings Tournament Seedings Pool. That's pretty cool. And we all love the NCAA tournament. What's more fun, everywhere you've ever worked, Frank, haven't you always had an office pool for the Final Four, for the March Madness? and it kind of gets you involved, right? Normally you don't care what Loyola Chicago does, except for you got them in the pool.
Yeah.
So now you care, and that's what DraftKings has picked up right from there.
It's really
a great great app and a great chance for everybody to get more participation in any of those sporting events that DraftKings is part of.
And they have a bunch of free-to-play pools that are really easy to play, so all you have to do is make your picks for who you think will get a ticket into March's biggest tournament, too, if you want to play some March Madness. But as DraftKings has said, the Players' Championship is a big championship this week. Considered, you know, don't forget about golf's fifth major this weekend taking place in Florida. I know,
that's right.
I said it, the fifth major, where DraftKings will have even more money up for grabs. Safe, secure, reliable, and you can deposit and withdraw your funds at your convenience. So everybody get out there, go to DraftKings. And as we say, download the DraftKings app now and use promo code GOLFTALK to get a free shot at a share of $100,000 in total prizes with DraftKings Tournament Seating Pool. That's promo code GOLFTALK to get a free shot at $100,000 in prizes only at DraftKings. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. So there.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah. And I'm going to do
it. We love DraftKings, and you should too. Try it. Yeah, what the heck? Have a lot of fun with it. You might win some money. And the important thing there is the secure part, Frank. That's what really gets me too, is
yeah,
I know a lot of friends have done things like that, and they're like, I'm not really sure about this. DraftKings is, back in the day when DraftKings was first coming out, I remember Jerry Jones was very involved in
huge
in a lot of the stuff that was happening and saying, you know what, we believe in it. There's a lot of people that have the same concerns you do, but DraftKings is right on top of things as far as the convenience and the security of withdrawing your funds and putting your funds in and everything. So don't worry about that part of it. They take care of all that, and you just get to have fun with little wagers on some of your
it's a free shot
sporting events coming up.
Why not sign up? Yeah. It's a free shot at $100,000.
Golf Talk. Just Golf Talk.
You got to plug in Golf Talk. Yeah, please do, folks. Plug in Golf Talk.
Get a shot.
We might even have somebody on the show to talk a little gambling from DraftKings pretty soon. So
Yeah,
that'll be fun.
That would be really neat.
Well, Steve, was fun today. It was fun talking to you about DeChambeau because, as our listeners may or may not know, of course, you're involved with the Payne Stewart Cup and involved at SMU and all the folks there and have been around Dallas a long, long time and know Bryson DeChambeau. I know him, but not like you do. I mean, you know him well, and he's a good kid.
Even in his college days, which, you know, sometimes you don't know how good a guy is going to be. They're college players. A lot of them are. But we even knew back then that he was different, not in a bizarre way, but at that time, he was already using the same thick grips. He was using the same length clubs. That was different. We're like, what's going on? And when we go play in the Payne Stewart Cup, as you're referring to, they'd always have the team there too to hit balls on certain holes for you, do whatever, just to make the rounds, because the Payne Stewart Cup benefited the SMU men's and women's golf program. And you always knew the guy in the what is it, a shanter, a camp and a shanter? How do you say that hat that he wears?
A clip bill hat? Yes.
Is that what you call it?
Yeah, it's called a clip bill.
He had those back at SMU even. That's when he wore them. And so you're like, well,
I've not
like Payne Stewart.
Been invited to play in that, and I seem to know somebody that has a lot of power with that tournament, but he doesn't seem to.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Power's not really the word, Frank. You know, power's not, they don't give me like invites. They don't say, hey, bring a few of your friends.
Well, if I've got to bring $10,000, right? Then I can come play. I'm going to spend that with DraftKings. I've got a better chance on return with DraftKings. Golf Talk. Golf Talk is the key.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, all you're going to get is a head cover from SMU, I think.
Yeah, but maybe I'll get a signed picture from W, you know? Okay.
By the way, you also want to make sure that everybody knows if you're looking for a club, go to Club Corp. We love our sponsorship that we've had now for a couple of years with Club Corp. Go to clubcorp.com, and you can find out more about a course near you. They have them all over the country, over 250 golf courses and also dinner clubs and social clubs around the country. And when you're a member at one, you get privileges at the others. So if you travel, if you get on vacations and stuff, you can always find a club in the area you're going to at Club Corp. Go to clubcorp.com to find out more and check out what they're doing. They're great people.
Absolutely.
As well.
They certainly are. And they're doing some really cool stuff with some simulators at some of their clubs. I know at your club there in Dallas, Club Corp's put in some simulators and they're expanding it now to more clubs. That was the first test, I guess. Or not at your club. You're at Prestonwood, but at Brookhaven, I think they did that, right?
At Brookhaven, you're right. They're exactly right. Yeah, just not too far from Prestonwood that they're doing at Brookhaven there. So Club Corp's based here in Dallas, and so it's kind of, they've got a number, probably, I guess, as many as any part of the country. I think they've got about a dozen courses here in Dallas, but almost every metropolitan area has a couple that that club course part of. You went to Firestone, remember, a few months back?
Yes, I did.
played at Firestone.
Oh, Firestone's so great. It's so great.
Yeah.
And the
staff
there. I
make you
cry
just bring that up, didn't I?
Yeah, I'm going to go back in the summer and stay there. Stayed right off of 18 on the South Course, right in a one of the chalets. It was fabulous. The food is incredible there. And the hospitality, I mean, it's incredible. I mean, that's a flagship for Club Corp, but they have more than one flagship. There are a lot of clubs out there. And the other thing Club Corp has is relationships with a lot of other organizations and resorts. And so as a Club Corp member, you have some special pricing that you can get if you want to travel and go to some of these PGA Tour tournaments where we're going to have spectators going forward. I think July is it's going to open up pretty good. Go get your shot.
We've got the Charles Schwab Cup coming up at Colonial in May.
We do.
Which was the first restart. Remember that COVID was off for about 3 months or so with golf last year. And that was the beginning of the restart for everybody. But they canceled before that. They canceled the media day, which is called the Wide Open. It's been going on for 40 years or more and more. And I played in damn near 30 of those probably at the Wide Open. And my team is the defending champs. We're still the defending champs because nobody played last year. But they did call or contact us and said, hey, we're going to have a Wide Open again this year. So we're excited. Coming up in April, they're going to have another media day. So, again, another little light at the end of the tunnel. It's opening up. We're getting better.
Need a fourth.
We get our media day. So that'll be a lot of fun. Yeah.
Do you need a fourth?
I heard you there. I tried not to acknowledge that there was any voice in the end. No, I don't. I don't get to pick my team. They kind of put you where they put you. You just get into it.
Well, okay. Never mind. And anyway, it's been a fun day.
Yep.
And it's going to be more coming up. This is Players Championship week, folks. Tune in.
Check it out.
It's going to be great.
Some of the best golfers in the world be playing there. Again, remember, golfschools@hankhaney.com. Golfschools@hankhaney.com. Send them your videos, and all they have to be is 10, 20 seconds, and they'll work on fixing your swing, fixing your big misses with Steve Johnson. Thank you to Steve Johnson with Hank Haney Golf for joining us. For Frank Bastin, I'm Tim Matthews. We appreciate each and every one of you, and remember to join us next time right here on Golf Talk America.